up, punk fans? Welcome to the Punk News Podcast Roundtable. I'm Brian Yancey. I'm here with Chris Moran. Hello, Chris.
Hey, hey.
And I'm also here with Kira Wisnuski. Hi, Kira.
Hi.
Lots of punk news happening this week, as I'm sure you're aware.
Is it Wisnuski or Wisnuski?
It's Wisnuski.
Oh, we're both wrong.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I just like pretty much go with whatever.
Can I call you the Wiz?
My friend tries to call me K-Wiz, and I'm not really into it that much.
Oh, man.
See, now I feel terrible because I really thought I was saying it right, but
whoops. It ain't no thing. Right.
The Wiz is also a Philly reference, you know, Brian, because that's like, you know,
it's like the shitty fake cheese that is synonymous with our culinary culture here.
Wait a minute. Let's not call it shitty. It's a damn good cheese.
It's not really cheese, though. It's like some sort of weird byproduct that has, different ingredients in it.
I thought it was just like American cheese and vegetable oil, basically.
I mean, I don't know.
It's like a spreadable cheese in a jar. I do have, like, a funny childhood, nostalgia for it because my mom and dad always packed me lunch when I was a wee one. And every now and again, when it was about time to go grocery shopping, I would get a Cheese Whiz sandwich.
like not melted, just spread.
Yep,
that's weird.
Yeah, it's so weird, but that's part of my childhood, y'all.
That's a pretty awesome childhood, though.
Yeah,
I fully endorse that sandwich.
Yeah, I just not to get off on too much of a tangent, but I got a little annoyed this week because a lot of the foodie culture here in Philly they were getting upset, like the food bloggers and stuff, because of Guy Fieri being in town filming one of his TV shows. And I just want to be like, you know what? Like, you live in Philadelphia. Like, we're known for fake shitty Cheese Whiz and soft pretzels. And that's kind of the extent of our culinary contributions to society.
No, dude, you've got down
the minds of most people.
You've got down like, that farmer's market. There's like that really famous like Italian pork and broccoli rabe sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. But it's like, to an outsider, that's what most people associate Philly with. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like they're being a little too full of themselves. And they should realize and remember where they live and, you know, what everybody here eats for the most part. But anyway.
The only thing I will say about that guy, Fieri, whatever the fuck it is that, yeah, he's annoying, he's a tool, blah, blah, blah. But I bet you any fucking hipster owning their own little shop would kill to have him come in there for the publicity and the, you know, the sales it would garner.
Free Hawaiian shirts.
I mean, but I mean, you know, as much as you want to be like all cool and indie, I mean, you're still trying to run a fucking business.
No, totally. I agree.
He'd take you to Flavor Town.
Speaking of business, let's talk about the business of music videos.
Yeah.
Bad Religion has a new one. It's for True North, the title track of their new album, which, by the way, got a perfect 5-star review from Mr. Moran here.
Woo!
And so you can check out the video on Punk News. It's pretty cool, kind of brief. I mean, it's a short song, but it's it kind of captures. Well, I'll just read part of the statement from the director, Zach Merck. He says, quote, "I wanted the video to simply capture a feeling that every single one of us has had throughout our years. This is a band, meaning Bad Religion, that has directly influenced generation after generation of punk rockers, and punk music in its truest form is something that we haven't understand, that the masses never will." Yeah. Fuck them. There is something very special and personal about discovering the music on a new album, especially with Bad Religion. So that's what this video concept became, that intense private moment that happens to all of us, alone with our music, inspired by the lyrics, "Us Against the World," end quote. So if you've seen the video, you can kind of understand where he's coming from. It's a cool concept. I identify with it. And the song's great. The album rules. I have nothing else to say about it. I think it's great.
Can I, before I give my comment about the video, I just want to touch on the review.
Yeah.
First, anybody who reads my reviews typically knows that I'm kind of an asshole. I only review stuff I like, usually. And every now and then, I'll throw something out there just out of obligation to someone who's asked me to review something. But other than that, you know, so most of my stuff is going to garner high scores. The Bad Religion record, for me, I think it really is their best record since the Grey Race. And the re and everyone's gonna say, well, what about the Process of New Belief? Blah blah blah. Well, the Process of New Belief is a great record, don't get me wrong. But I think I think it's looked at with more esteem only because it was the return, you know, it came after those two turd
Sure.
records, so people kind of hold it. It has a higher place in their memory because it was like, wow, finally they made something good again.
Right.
But True North is like, I mean, if you listen to those songs, that shit sounds like a little from Control, No Control, a little from Generator. I mean, it's the, you know, it's punk rock. It's the same chords, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it on the show a few weeks ago when the album came out, and you know, we kind of talked about it in that sense, how the record is kind of a throwback, but it also sounds very modern at the same time. It's got a lot of the tropes, for a lack of a better term, a lot of the characteristics you would expect from a great Bad Religion record, but they haven't really played songs like this in a really long time, at least in this form. Meaning like, you know, a little bit stripped down, a little bit simpler, but still, you know, stuff that sounds like them, so.
You know, and I'll say for the video, I'm not a fan of it, and
Yeah.
but then again, I don't. Bad Religion has never really had a history of doing great videos. I mean, the 21st Century Digital Boy video is kind of cool, but it's still weird, you know, with like they do that staticky shit and Greg Graffin kind of swimming in the static and all that.
Yeah, it's so 90s.
The video for Broken, I thought was kind of cheesy with the camera lens that keeps cracking and. They've never really done anything that I think matches the music really well. It's kind of like, eh, all right, it's kind of images in the background, whoop-de-doo. And
What about this video did you not like, Chris?
I guess, I don't know, maybe I just, there's so much to, at least I hold Graffin's vocals in such high regard, or his lyrics in such high regard, that I guess I expect more visually as well to kind of complement that. And it just seems so. The video feels lazy to me, to be honest.
So you want a lyric video? Is that what you're
No,
saying?
yes. Bad Religion needs to be on Rise Records so we can have a lyric video.
No, they released a lyric video, I think, for this song. Like when it first came out, I think it's the way they released it.
Lyric videos are the new e-cards. Didn't you know that?
Unfortunately, I do. Yes.
But it, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see like some sort of like I can't put it into words, but almost like I know
All right,
there's a story to this, but.
well, let's try to put it into words. Chris Moran, you're directing a Bad Religion music video.
God.
Top off the top of your head, like what's the best concept? You know,
Ooh.
what do you think what do you think is going to work and match their music best in your mind?
You know what I would actually do? I would do something along the lines of like maybe just top of my head, I'm thinking like, you know, maybe like a guy or something working in like a really shitty office and like, you know, he's kind of just lamenting the day. And then it
Seeing it.
transitions to him going to like a punk rocker show or something. That's simple, but I don't know. It just says more than somebody just sitting in a room like playing air drums and looking at a fucking like vinyl cover.
Now, is
But
that the first thing you think of because you identify with that?
maybe, yeah.
Yes.
See, and I think that's about what this video is. I feel like it's so identifiable, even if a lot of people don't want to admit it. But like, I totally did that when I was. I never did the air drumming thing per se, but I remember just like pouring over like inserts for CDs and records and just like spending
Yeah.
like, you know, a good amount of time with them just listening to it over and over again. And so it's. I totally get that. I mean, sure, it's like a little cheesy, but
But
as
what
you
video
mentioned a
isn't?
little bit before, yeah, true. And as Chris mentioned, like all their videos do have a slight, you know, a bit of cheese to them, I guess.
A whiz factor.
Yeah, a
Yeah, you
little
could
bit of
say
whiz
that.
factor, if
You
you
could say
will.
that.
But no, I don't know if that's a double entendre because you wanted to call me Whiz. But
And
anyway.
it's not, and Wiz isn't really cheese.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not really
But
cheese.
this video I think could work for another song. I don't know if it'd be a Bad Religion song, but it doesn't the melody just doesn't to me doesn't go with it. It just doesn't match.
Okay.
Okay, I could get that. Like I think that's true. I think that the visual for this song or the visual for this video could really be for any video.
This video would go good with Ruby Soho.
I mean,
Let's make that
yeah,
happen.
I guess you could say, like, yeah, the visual of it could go with kind of like any song. it's not necessarily a perfect fit for this song. Okay, I can agree with that.
Like
Yeah,
something
I
more
see what you're
boppy.
saying.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of lyric videos and labels that love to release them, Rise Records, who we mentioned in passing just a minute ago, they've added the Loved Ones frontman Dave Hawes to their roster. They're re-releasing his 2011 solo debut, Resolutions, which originally came out on Paper and Plastic, and has he's had some problems with Paper and Plastic, which are well documented, pertaining to that release and its ability to be bought and found. He expressed his excitement about the release via Facebook. He said, quote, "It's great to know that a record I worked really hard on is in such capable hands, so keep your eyes peeled, especially all of you who have been looking for it and unable to find it. Your search is about to end," end quote. So I don't think there's any sort of new tracks or anything like that coming along with this reissue. It's just going to be pretty much a straight reissue with some bundles and some other merch like posters and shirts and shit. It's going to be out on March 26th. And as promised, they released a lyric video for Come On Kid, which you can see on our website, Punk News. So there you go. New addition to Rise Records. It's good for him, obviously, because they have, well, for one, they know what they're doing. They're actually a functioning record label who, does things like releases records and puts them where people can find them and buy them.
Where it was so when Brian Yancey and I confirmed our friendship at Crazy Fest in 2011, I remember, I don't know if you recall this moment, but when Dave Haas was performing, he actually was making several cracks at Paper and Plastic on stage
He
and
was.
was like making jokes about like, yeah, you can pre-order it now and maybe they'll have it for you by the time next Crazy Fest. Like,
I think a lot of
make
bands have done that.
all sorts of
Yeah.
cracks like that. So overall, to talk about the re-release, I think it's a good thing in the fact that like I really love this album. I thought it was great. So if more people can hear it, that's rad. I do wish that he would just make some new music though already. It seems like it's been a hot minute, but I guess that he is gonna record this year, so cool. I'm looking at these bundles right now and they're pretty crazy. There's one that is $60. It's the Dave Haas Mega Bundle.
Dave
And
comes in
yeah,
it.
it comes with a 12-inch gold vinyl, 180 grams.
A few locks of his hair, right?
Yes, there's some locks of his hair, and there's a CD 4-panel digipack with a 16-page booklet. There's an
Okay.
11 by 17 promo photo, an El Jefe screen printed poster, an Al Athletic gray T-shirt, a Get Hammered royal blue pocket T-shirt, and a Get Hammered pint glass.
Wow, that's a lot of bang for your buck.
All yours for $60.
Wow.
It's the mega bundle, y'all.
Dave is peddling those wares.
I feel like Rise owes us money just now. Like you basically read their ad on air.
Hey,
I
can
hit
we
them
talk
up.
about lyric videos though for a second and how
Of
much
course.
I was watching the lyric video and I was like, I fucking hate lyric videos. But then I had like this epiphany moment where I was like, whoa, wait, what if this was at a karaoke bar? And I had like just a whole new vision for it because I think it would actually work really well in a karaoke bar. It might be like a little different than, like the nonsensical like videos of people hanging out and like at Disney World and stuff with the karaoke. I don't know how much you guys frequent karaoke bars,
I
but
pretty much only ever sing karaoke with you, honestly.
okay, so then you
So.
recall the videos of like the nonsensical videos is just the words underneath it.
Yes, very strange.
And
Very
then
a little off-putting if you're not inebriated, honestly.
But then I had this other thought that I really hope that somebody puts out a lyric video like a karaoke video.
Yeah, why hasn't that happened yet?
Like the next, Rise Record lyric video, I want it to be like some nonsensical like footage with just the lyrics, not like the words like all bouncing at you and stuff, but just like the words at the bottom of the screen that light up like a karaoke video. I really want Rise to do that or somebody to do that. I don't, anyway, sorry, tangential thoughts. What are your thoughts about this re-release and lyric video of Chris Moran?
I mean, I don't know. I still listen to Keep Your Heart. I think Dave has a good solo thing going. I guess I got burnout on the whole solo thing from everyone really quickly though, so it's hard for me to get excited about anything solo anymore.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a new Loved Ones record that, isn't. I didn't like the last LP either. It was just too disjointed. I love Keep Your Heart. I mean, I listen to that record, I'd say at least once a month. So
No,
I'm gonna keep talking about that record.
that's a great record. I support
Agreed.
that.
Dave's a hardworking dude, so more power to him if he can get a label that does more support for him. It's kind of shitty what's happened with Paper and Plastic because, I really feel that Vinny has the best intentions. I just think that he's kind of like a dude whose eyes are bigger than his stomach, you know? It's like he wants to do so much, but he can't. But then another part of me thinks he's just trying to like grab every band he can and then hold on to them, and whichever one starts to do well, then he's got 'em. So I'm kind of torn on the subject.
Yeah, there's kind of a line of thinking beyond, or not beyond, I should say, with some people who kind of thought that that's how, and it's probably just speculation. I don't know if any of it's based in fact, but that's how it seemed like a lot of people thought his tenure at Fueled by Ramen was that he was just trying to sign every band, and then once one of them became big, let's say Fall Out Boy, for example. I was really trying to get through the show without mentioning them, but yeah, I mean, it just sucks. I feel like I agree with you, Chris. I feel like he's got good intentions deep down. I just think he's not a very good business person,
I think
and
quite the opposite. He's a good business person, and I think that's what's
really.
what I think that's what's taken charge. I think he started with good intentions, and now the business mentality has taken over, and it's kind of like only put money into what's going to make you money.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
I mean, they pushed
probably something that we'll never know about.
the hell out of the Wilhelm Scream stuff they put out pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, I suppose. I don't
Swellers
know.
too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, so many bands have had problems with them that I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird that they're still a thing. But yeah. I think we're going to take a break for a song. We have three songs and six stories, so let's do two, two, and two. Does that sound good, everybody?
Woo, party.
Let's
Okay.
go.
So I think we have a song right now from Punk News news editor Andrew Waterfield. So we're going to do one of his songs, and then we will come back and do some more stories.
All right, this is Punk News editor Andy Waterfield, and this is a Punk News exclusive. I haven't got all the sound effects that John does, I'm sorry. Anyway, this is a band by the name of I Used to Be a Sparrow. The song's called On Off. It's from their forthcoming second album, You're an Empty Artist. If you want to check out their first album, Luke, it's available on their Bandcamp page for a euro, which I guess is about equivalent to a dollar. And realistically, what are you going to spend a dollar on? You can't spend a euro on fucking anything if you're in North America, and you can't spend a euro on anything in the UK either. So, yeah, spend it on this. Anyway. Yeah, I used to be a sparrow. On off. Have a good week. Cheers.
You're like a stranger in the night. I
Welcome back to the Punk News Podcast. What a great song by insert band name here that was. Speaking of bands that smell bad, let's talk about Reviver. So, I mean, no disrespect, but Reviver are releasing a new record, The Beauty Between, on the 25th of this month, so very soon. You can hear one new song, LMD, at their Bandcamp page. You can check out the track listing, cover art, at Punk News. It's a 14-track release. It's their first full-length. I'm trying to think of when that first one came out. I feel like it was a while ago. I think it was like 2008. So they've got a new one in the can, and it's coming soon. I'll be honest. New song, kind of underwhelming. Feels a little bit like a retread to me. It's not bad by any stretch, but definitely feels like well-worn territory when it comes to their sound. What was great about that first record and the EP that came after it was the musicianship for the limited music that they play was just really, really great, especially the guitar playing on that self-titled record. And that's kind of what drew me into it. And it doesn't really seem like the song has that, but I mean, what do you guys think of the new Reviver tune?
I think that this podcast would be approved by Matt Canino, whatever the fuck you say it, because Kira's on.
Well, I mean, I guess that's good. We want to be diverse. I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Isn't that also sexist to only approve something if it has to include a woman? I mean, in a weird way. Kira, you know where I'm going with that, Kira?
What?
Isn't it also sort of like sexist to say you only approve of something if it has, you know, both genders in it? That you can't approve of something, you know, based on quality and not, you know, participation?
I mean, it's about, I think it's not about that, it's about it being accessible to all genders, not that. So the accessibility issue, I think, is key, not a requirement.
Well, I'm just wasting time because I don't give a fuck about Reviver. So, Kira, if you want to talk about Reviver, go ahead.
I think the song is pretty consistent with their sound.
Good commentary. Excellent. Astute observation.
Yeah.
I agree with that observation.
We have an interview coming up from them.
That's going to be interesting because the last interview we ran with them, which was conducted by John Gentile, garnered quite a bit of discussion.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to reading how this one's going to come out.
We will see, because the person who is doing the interview is a new staffer and has, I think, coming from a different place than John Gentile is in terms of the subject matter.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get a new perspective on that and see what they're up to.
Yeah.
Cool. So Rival Schools have a new old album coming out. This album, which was intended to be their second full length for a major label that would have come out probably about 10 years ago. United by Fate was their debut. It came out in 2001. So this album, which they're calling Found, has been kind of around on the internet for a really long time in various forms, not necessarily high quality, not necessarily correct song titles, but that's all finally getting sorted. It's going to come out on April 9th. There's a song called Indisposable Heroes that you can hear on Rolling Stone. And this is kind of cool. I like when bands do this because I feel like there are a lot of bands that have this material that's kind of out in the ether, so to speak, that never sees the light of day. And it's always cool when it kind of happens because, you know, as a guy who, you know, used to frequent message boards and used to frequent music blogs and stuff like that, it's just a pain in the ass to like try to find this stuff if you really want it. So the fact that, like, as an old guy who is also lazy and wants to buy music, it's great because then I can just like go somewhere and buy it as opposed to having to look for it. But I mean, have you guys listened to the song? What do you think about it? Can you think of any sort of band that has like a lost record that you would want to see released someday?
Well, I like the song. I've always been kind of on the fence with Rival Schools. I don't dislike them, but I don't go batshit crazy over them. But, you know, I've always kind of, you know, I dig what they do. As far as record, you know, record in that regard, there's a record, and I actually reviewed it for Punk News years ago. I don't know if it's still available or not. It's a Bad Religion live record that they recorded on a European tour, and they did like a song in every city. I think it was like an import record, but it is phenomenal. And I'm going to pull up iTunes and see if I can find it. But yeah, I don't know, Kira, I'm going to throw it over to you while I look for this.
Rival Schools has never really been my thing, but I agree with what Yancey was saying and the fact that I think it's cool when this kind of thing happens, because it definitely is something that's like pretty a good thing for like people who are already fans. I think these kind of things never really attract too many new fans, but I don't think that's the purpose of them. So I think it's like a nice little treat for people who are really into, you know, whatever band is doing it. So I think that it's rad that it's happening, and I'm stoked for people who are into Rival Schools and are stoked for this album, because it's going to be a great, great thing for them. The thing that was happening in the comments of this is that I guess that the previous things that were on, like the aforementioned message boards and stuff, had really low sound quality, and so everybody's all stoked that this, or at least this track that Rolling Stone is streaming, has much better sound quality. So I think that's also rad. So good job, Rival Schools. Good job, Rival Schools fans.
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed too, is that the versions of this album that I had heard previously were not definitely not up to snuff. They had a very demo-ish feel, like somebody, this was something that wasn't finished and somebody leaked it, basically. So yeah, this is going to be cool. I look forward to hearing it. Yeah, no qualms whatsoever.
The live record I'm referring to is called Tested.
Oh, I've heard of that. Okay.
It's amazing. I mean, it's one of my favorite live records ever done, and it's really awesome. It was, I found it on CD Universe. I don't know if it's available for, it is available in the Amazon Amazon Marketplace, apparently.
I can't even think of a live record I actually like.
I think Sony released it. No, the label was MSI. What the hell is MSI?
I don't know. Must be a non-American thing.
Well, it's
so I don't care about it.
Yeah, it's an import, but every song on there sounds really awesome, and that it has two unreleased songs.
Speaking of unreleased, holy crap, John Gentile has an unreleased Crass song that he's going to play on the show right now. That's amazing. How he pulls this off, I have no idea. So we're going to go do that, and then we'll come back with a couple more stories.
Yo, 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 Punk News. This is Features Editor John Gentile, and I'm here to bring you a super special, something near and dear to my heart, a super exclusive worldwide Punk News exclusive. Today's worldwide Punk News exclusive comes from a band that shouldn't even need to have any introduction, Crass. As I'm sure you know, Crass was one of the first punk rock bands, one of the very first very political punk rock bands, one of the very first very artistic punk rock bands. I mean, all in all, you cannot overstate the importance of Crass. Well, Southern Records and Crass Records in conjunction have just re-released all 6 Crass LPs. They sound phenomenal. The old CDs didn't sound that great, but the new reissues sound phenomenal. The reissues are called the Crassical Collection. They're sharper, harder, faster, meaner sounding, but they maintain respect for the original sound of the original issues as well. I mean, basically, it's an upgrade in every way, if you ask me. I'm going to play a track called You've Got Big Hands off Crass's second album called Stations of the Crass. This is the reissued remastered version off the Crassical Collection version of the Stations of the Crass out on Southern Records. It's phenomenal. We've got a couple pieces running over Crass, a big review of the entire discography, as well as an interview with a couple of the longest-running members of the band, so you should definitely check that out. And once again, this is Crass doing You've Got Big Hands. Check it out.
Yeah. the growing. Things you do is better with the light that the chase are made. Need to name your choice of life. Be the green and just be too right. When your faith is to say yes, the eggs are big, they've got big eggs.
Big and 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 big and
big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and
big and big and big and big and big and big and big and big and big and come and see, to come and say. Come and show your little ideas. Trying to show in the garden, don't get late. Sucks to change that I never made. See them sentences, stay the same. Been like you, it's just a game. Change the time, I'm letting a lie. So what's been wrong, bros, you're naked. Then what's different, it's up to me. Put their asses, beat their ass. Big head, big head, big head, big head.
Big head, big
head, big head. Big head, big head, big head, big head, big head, big head.
Welcome back. The Punk News Roundtable has shrunk from 3 to 2. Kira has left us, we think, to go watch the new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. In fact, that's confirmed. Hopefully she doesn't get mad at me for saying that. I don't think she'll care. So anyway, I'm still here with Chris. We've got a couple more stories to go through before we end this show. First one is that Teenage Bottle Rocket, still on the subject of reissues. Their 2002 EP, A-Bomb, is going to be reissued by three labels, Haha Cool Records, Jerk Off Records, and Lost Cat Records, which is like a murderer's row of terrible record label names. The EP, which was originally released by the equally great named One-Legged Pup, is going to be a limited press of 705 different colors, with new artwork. So it's going to be available from the aforementioned labels, as well as at Pooza Fest, and from the band while they're on tour. It's going to be out on May 21st. Teenage Bottle Rocket, as you might know, are going to be touring this month with The Queers and Masked Intruder, which is going to be great, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't even know this thing existed, and I consider myself a pretty big Teenage Bottle Rocket fan.
It's not that good.
No, it's really not. It's pretty rough. Not sure why it needs to be reissued.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You can tell they're basically demos.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that I guess it's cool for completists and super fans.
Right.
But for the casual fan, or even the, like, even a little bit more than casual fan, it's probably not necessary listening. But if you want to check it out, it's streaming on the Haha Cool Records Bandcamp page, as well as at Punk News.
Haha, cool.
Fuck, that was so good. All right. So let's wrap this up. The Grammys were this past weekend. I'm sure you know, because I know you all follow me on Twitter, and I was live tweeting the entire ceremony.
Were you really watching it?
Yeah, of course.
What?
You know, on.
I was talking with somebody about this, and I was saying, and it was actually yesterday, and I was like, because I just glanced at Facebook because I was busy watching good TV. You know, The Walking Dead was back on. And I was saying, as I was looking at Facebook and seeing all these people that I knew who were watching, and I was like, I could not comprehend why anybody that I would know on Facebook would be watching the Grammys. Because most people I know on Facebook have better taste in music than people that are typically watching the Grammys. So what is it, Brian? Tell me what it is about the Grammys that made you want to watch.
It's one of those things, and I hate to sound like a fucking hipster, but it's like, and I don't watch it ironically, I really don't, but it's just such like an entertaining train wreck every year that it's just really hard for me to kind of pull myself away from it, because like I know it sucks, and I know that by and large the music industry in 2013, as it has been for the last few years, is just big and dumb and bloated and streamlined, and pretty much everything out there sucks, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I just have to see it. It's like a cultural thing almost. I kind of got into it last year because I had to watch it last year for my job, my former job, and ended up weirdly enjoying it despite how awful it was. So I don't know what to say. It's one of those things where it sucks. I know it sucks, but I also can't turn away from it.
So Tim Armstrong, was he in attendance?
Well, the thing is, like, the thing that kind of sucks about the Grammys even more is that, first of all, it's a 3.5-hour show, which is way too long. Second of all, during that 3.5 hours on TV, they give away maybe 8 awards.
Right.
Maybe. The rest of the awards are given away in an untelevised ceremony. I don't even know if it's a ceremony prior to the show's airing. And this award was obviously under that umbrella. So I have no idea if Jimmy Cliff was even there. He might not have been, but good on him for winning a Grammy. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I think the record is really great. So
what was the Grammy? I'm looking at the article. I'm trying to figure out what was the Grammy for. I mean, like, you know, what was the official award? Best collaboration, best reggae record.
I'm pretty sure there's a reggae category, and he won it. So I think that's what it was for. I don't know if Tim gets his own Grammy because he produced it. He also co-wrote several of the songs, but
I've always wondered how that works. Like, if, you know, if let's say a record wins Record of the Year, like Grammy, is it like they only give the Grammys to like the band, but then anybody who's involved can maybe buy one? Or because I imagine there's so many people who are involved, it's like you're not going to give Grammys to every fucking person, but in a way, every person is sort of entitled to one if they had a piece in it.
Yeah, I agree. I have no idea how that works. I don't know anybody who's won one. I should probably work on that so I can find out.
If anybody with the Academy or whatever the fuck it is that votes on this stuff knows, you should email us at podcast@punknews.org because I want to know.
Absolutely.
I'm curious.
Why don't we vote on the Academy? We should
really
vote.
Because
we've been doing this long enough, right?
Because they're not gonna give it to True North. It won't even get an MTV. Better not get an MTV Video Music Award.
Oh, it's not. That's not gonna happen.
I remember. I think Ruby Soho may have won one of those astronaut thingamajiggers.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, punk rock was kind of everywhere in like 1994, and MTV still played music back then. So I guess it kind of makes sense.
Basket Case was a damn good video.
That was a good video. Green Day had good videos back in those days.
They did, and well executed. But Longview was even kind of cool with him and that monkey, and he just starts stabbing the couch. And
yes, I do remember that. That was
the close-ups of his fucked up teeth. That was great.
yeah, that was. I agree. That was pretty awesome. So So congratulations, I should say, to Jimmy Cliff. In related news, Rancid are working on their new record, which will be our story says long-awaited follow-up to Let the Dominoes Fall. I would argue the long-awaited point, but maybe it's long-awaited by somebody. So there you go. Rancid's probably going to have a new record out this year. We will see how it is, how it stacks up quality-wise. I don't have high hopes based on their recent output, but we'll see.
I'm going to try to be nice to Rancid because I'm really hoping maybe they'll send us a free Rancid bat.
I would love one. Tim, if you're listening, Lars, if you're listening, hit us up.
Who else is in
podcast
the band
at punknews.org, and I will gladly send you my mailing address, and you can send me one of those sweet ass bats.
I wish it was a mini bat, though, and I know it's not now, but I really wish it was.
I mean, that would be easier to carry around, I suppose.
It would be more Rancid esque too, you know.
Yeah, it really would. It really would be. All right. So we've got one more song. This one is also from Andrew Waterfield, who played a song earlier in the show. So let's get into that, and then I'll be back right after that to wrap up the show. So stay with us.
Let's go.
All right, this is news editor Andy Waterfield with a track from a band by the name of Modern Baseball. The track's called The Weeknd, and it comes from their recently released album Sports, which is fitting as I'm given to understand that baseball is considered a sport in some parts of the world. Anyway, Modern Baseball, the track's called The Weeknd. You can snag the album Sports from Lame-O Records or Run for Cover Records. I really hope you enjoy it, and I hope you have a good week.
Though I seem cool. cool, calm, and collected. Making my way to hipster with glasses was a little more than just nerve-wracking. Kinda just counted on her to turn me into goo. Praise whatever, it ended with a smile. Cause for a bit of ten, a little while, I expected you to save the day with sly remarks like, he's so cute and whatever you want. Though the white jacket didn't fit, the friends I came with did perfectly. Snugged right to my body like sad movies and late night drinks. Could have guessed by the end of the hour there was more than just
going to do it for this week's Punk News Podcast. Thanks to Chris and Kira for joining me on the roundtable. Thanks to Modern Baseball, I Used to Be a Sparrow, and Crass for giving us music to play on the show. That's awesome. We'll be back next week. Hope you enjoyed this week's installment. As always, send your feedback to us. podcast@punknews.org is our email address. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and several other social networks that less people use than those two. And you can also, leave us your feedback via the comments section at punknews.org. So, we'll be back next week. Until then, this has been the Punk News Podcast for the week of February 12th, 2013.